Usher, the language of existence, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 8.
Beloved Book One, Bhukkho said, "It may be asked, how is the self to be approached? By looking into it through this sort of inquiry. 40 years ago, where did it come from? And 100 years hence, where will it have gone to? And right now, who is the person who is making the inquiry? That true faith which was before father and mother were born, where is it right now? When suddenly one day the light of life, now so brilliant, will be withdrawn, where does it go to?" In this sort of way, continued Bhukkho, look into the self. Look when you sleep, look when you sit, look when you walk. When you find you cannot look any more, then you must look and see how that inability to look appears and disappears. As you are looking at how the sight comes and the sight goes, Satori realization will arise of itself. On another occasion, Bhukkho said, "The Dharma is different from seeing, hearing, perceiving, knowing. Seeing, hearing, perceiving, knowing are all Dharma. This mountain priest makes a home for the people of the wide earth. Without the dust being raised, they enter the realm of paradise." Lifting high his staff, Bhukkho said, "Om, om, om. Haste, haste, haste. Quick, quick, quick. Bow, bow, bow." Throwing high, not reaching the sky. Laying down, not reaching the earth. All the Buddhism patriarchs find no hold at all. Hold, no hold. Om. Divine streams rushing, rushing.
Melissa, all the religions of the world are concerned with something objective, a god who is somewhere above the clouds, a heaven, a hell, but they are all outside of you. They are all objective. Zen's basic difference from our religions is its inquiry is absolutely subjective. It does not bother about whether there is a God or not, whether there is a heaven or a hell or not. These are all fictitious questions, and all the answers given for or against are going to be fictitious. To the Zen seekers, the only reality is inward. He does not deny the outside reality, but he does not concern himself with it. That is the work of science, to inquire into the objective reality. The authentic religions should be confined in the inquiry of the subjectivity of your consciousness. From where arises your life, your love, your dance? From where this whole existence arises, and to where you disappear? And now we know even existence does not allow anything to be stable. Even the greatest star, which may have lived millions of years or trillions of years, one day has to die. Every day great stars die, and every day new stars are born. But from where? What is the source of all life, whether it exists in the poor grass leaves or in the richest and greatest stars? It does not matter. The source of life is the same. And the only right inquiry is to go within the world, to find your roots, to find your center, to go deep into your center as much as possible. Finally, you will be surprised to know that as you go deeper, you start disappearing. A moment comes when you disappear and the whole universe opens all its mysteries. Individual is a fiction. The whole cosmos is a reality. We are just dewdrops on lotus leaves, very beautiful in the early morning sun. But a small breeze comes and the dewdrop slips into the ocean. It does not die, it simply becomes infinite, eternal. As a dewdrop, it was going to die sooner or later. As an individual, we are all going to disappear into the universe. Before we disappear, the only way to live a life of joy and blissfulness, a life of gratitude and prayer, is to find out your eternal root. And they are so close within your grasp, you don't have to go anywhere, neither in time nor in space. This very moment, you are breathing the universe. Your heartbeat is in tune with the universe. This very moment, your roots are being nourished by the universe. Just you have never looked within. and you have been unnecessarily begging for small things, while inside you are an emperor. The splendor that you have inside you is unimaginable. The treasure is incalculable. Just a single look inside and a new dimension of existence opens up. And this is your reality, authentic reality. It is so blissful and ecstatic that once you have tasted it, you will carry the taste around the clock in terms of Zen. This is called the experience of the Buddha. Everybody is a Buddha. Few Buddhas are looking outward, hence they are not aware of their inner treasure and majesty. And few Buddhas have looked inward and are amazed that what you are seeking outside is trivial. The real treasure is inside, and you have been born with it. It is nothing, something to be achieved. It is something to be recognized, to be remembered. It is a forgotten language. Zen can be reduced in a simple definition that it teaches you the forgotten language. It teaches you the language of the inner world. Simple are the steps. There is no complication. You don't need to have a great intelligence. All that you need is a little courage. A little courage to forget all the desires that lead you outward. A little courage to look inward, which is an unknown territory, untraveled, and in the beginning it will look very dark and you will be very alone. Most of the people in life have tried to look inward and then immediately came back to the outside world. They have too much become accustomed to be a sheep in the crowd. They don't have the guts to be a lion and to be alone. They don't know the beauty of aloneness. They don't know even the distinction between loneliness and aloneness. Loneliness is always begging for somebody. Loneliness is missing somebody. Loneliness is a miserable state. But aloneness is finding yourself in such glory, in such beauty and benediction, that no desire remains. Even clouds are below your feet, even far away stars suddenly come close to you, because you are getting more and more intimate with the existence, the only richness is to know oneself. By knowing oneself, one comes to know that he was only a door to the vast and the infinite, to the eternal and the deathless. It is a very strange paradox that the moment you know yourself, you are not. The whole is. The dewdrop has disappeared and all around is the ocean. One of the Indian mystics, Kabir, in his youth wrote a small poem, the beginning of which means I have been searching myself, my friend, but on the contrary, finding myself, I found no myself. The dewdrop disappeared in the ocean. Now where to find it? I am no more. At the time of his death, he called his son Kamal and said to him that correct those lines. Because as I have become more intimate to reality, a correction is urgently needed, and I am going to die. After me, nobody will have the courage to correct me. And in fact, those lines are so beautiful, there is no need to correct them. Kamal said, those lines are so beautiful, dewdrop disappearing in the ocean, what more do you want? Kabir said, change it. Make it the other way. The ocean disappearing in the dewdrop. It was my first experience that the dewdrop is disappearing. It is my last experience that the ocean has disappeared in me. Now I am the whole. What people like Al-Hillaz Mansur say, Anal Haq, I am the truth. They are not bragging about. They are simply stating an ordinary fact of everybody's life. You know or you don't know. It is up to you. You can delay as long as possible. You have the whole eternity to postpone. But by postponing the truth, you are living in utter misery, suffering, anguish, anxiety. Your whole life is just a tragedy. Tragedy upon tragedy. Failure upon failure. Everybody is trying to hide his fear and failure. Your love is unfulfilled. Your desire is incomplete. Whatever you have longed has disappeared as a mirage. You know the ordinary proverb of the ancients: man proposes and God disposes. There is no God. And what purpose is served for God to dispose your desire? He will be getting mad by disposing everybody's proposition. Everybody is proposing thousand and one things, and God goes on disposing. He seems to be a head clerk or something who simply disposes files without even looking in them. But the proverb carries meaning. God may not exist, but in the very fact of proposing, you have disposed yourself. In the very fact of proposing, you have asked existence to be according to you. And this vast existence cannot be according to you. If you want it to be according to you, you will have to be according to it. Don't try to swim upstream. Just let the river take you to the ocean. Why make unnecessary effort and get tired? That is one of the essentials of Zen: no effort, total relaxation into the hands of totality, no seeking, but just looking in, because it is already there, you don't have to seek. Zen will not agree with Jesus, neither I agree. The words are very beautiful. One is tempted to agree with Jesus when he says, "Seek and ye shall find." It is poetry. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and the answer will be given to you. It hurts to object, but one is helpless. Jesus has to be criticized on those points, because Zen says, if you seek, you will go far away. Don't seek, just be. In seeking, you have to go somewhere, you have to do somewhere, you have to do something, you have to follow some guide. Don't seek, just be. Or don't seek and find. Whose doors you are going to knock? It is beautiful when you read Jesus, "Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." We can forgive him for his poetry. But whose doors you are going to knock? There are no doors to existence. Don't waste your time knocking on doors. Just close your eyes and the whole sky of the inner is open. There are no doors, no windows, no locks, no keys. And Jesus says, answer will be given to you if you question. Zen says, you are the answer. Just drop the question. It is the question that is hindering you finding the answer. Don't question, just enter inside you with grandeur and a sense of birthright. Without any question, you are the answer. Your consciousness, your awareness, your being reveals all the truths and all the mysteries of existence. Bhikkhu is an important master. He says, it may be asked, how is the self to be approached? By looking into it through this sort of inquiry, 40 years ago, where did it come from? And 100 years hence, where will it has gone to? And right now, who is the person who is making the inquiry? That is the most significant point. You are asking a question, but are you aware who is the person behind the question? Who is asking the question? The question cannot arise from nowhere. There must be someone hidden inside you who is asking the question. Drop the question and find out the questioner. And in finding the questioner, you will find the answer. It is a very strange and paradoxical world. But however difficult it may seem in the beginning, if you just take a single step inward, everything goes on becoming more and more simpler. Guthrie's esteem, one of the most significant women poets, was on her deathbed. His friends have gathered knowing that her death is close. Suddenly she opened her eyes and asked, what is the answer? Everybody looked at each other, that it seems she has gone senile. We don't know the question, how can we say what is the answer? somebody gathered courage and asked that you are being very illogical. You are asking us what is the answer, but we don't know the question. Goodrich Epstein laughed. And said, okay, then tell me what is the question. And she died with a smile. To me, in the West, very few people have attained to the state Goodrich Epstein attained. In his last moment, she became a Buddha, certainly. She is saying there is no question and there is no answer. Life is so simple, so beautiful, so honest. There is no place for any question or for any answer. Life can be sung. Life can be danced. Life can be loved. But there is no question and there is no answer. Bhukko is saying, who is the person who is making the inquiry? That true faith which was before father and mother were born, where is it right now? You must have had a faith before you were born, or you were faithless. And you must have a faith when you are dead. Or do you think you won't have any faith? Zen's most significant inquiry is to find the original faith. This faith that you have right now is not your original faith. It is changing every moment. Every moment you are becoming older. Every moment death is coming closer. Just few years before you were a child and just few years afterwards you were an old man. And a little more few years, and not even a trace of you will be found anywhere. How many millions of people have lived before you? Some crackpot has inquired, because only crackpots inquire in such things, that wherever you are sitting, at least there have been made 8 graves in the past. You are sitting on 8 ghosts. And just think of the implications. You will be the 9th. And the 10th ghost will be sitting on your head. Where all those people have disappeared? No, this face, this body, this mind, which comes and goes, is not your true being, your original face. you have to find out something in you which never changes. In Zen language, that which never changes in you is your original self. All others are masks. Only one thing never changes in you, and that is witnessing, watchfulness, awareness. Everything changes. You are aware of the anger, anger will change. How long you can be angry? The hottest person is going to be coolest sooner or later. And the coolest person can be driven to be harsh. You love. But the moment you say I love, you should remember love has started dying. Soon you will be carrying a scar of love. It's still saying old words, repeated dialogues. But deep inside you know the love that was a romance, a poetry, a song is no more there. Your heart no more sings, no more dances. But awareness remains the same. One time it was aware that you love, one time it is aware that love is gone. Seasons come and go. Flowers blossom and disappear in the dust. But at the deepest core of your being, is the greatest mystery of awareness, which is eternal, which is your original state. When suddenly one day the light of life, now so brilliant, will be withdrawn, where does it go? In this sort of way, continued Bhukko, look into the self. Look when you sleep. Look when you sit. Look when you walk, and you will be surprised that the awareness remains the same whether you are sitting. It does not mean that the awareness is sitting also. When you are walking, it does not mean that the awareness is walking also. When you are going to your bed, it does not mean the awareness is also going to sleep. Who watches the dreams? Sleep or awake, sitting or standing, walking or not walking, one thing in you is absolutely the same. and to find out this is the whole of religion. Everything else is non-essential. When you find you cannot look anymore, then you must look and see how that inability to look appears and disappears. It is the experience of all meditators that sometimes you are aware and then you forget, and you are not aware, and then again you remember. But behind this awareness, forgetfulness, awareness, forgetfulness, there is a deeper awareness which always remains. What changes is your mental recognition of awareness. Sometimes it is there, sometimes it is not there. Mind cannot continue to remember a thing forever. It is a flux. Every moment new thoughts are coming. Every moment new desires are arising. Every moment new longings are knocking on your doors. There is so much busyness without business in the mind. That to remember you are a Buddha is only a momentary thing. Soon you will forget and you will start behaving in the ordinary way. And suddenly, at some moment, you will again remember what you are doing. You are a Buddha and you are smoking cigarettes. It does not look good. Buddha and smoking cigarettes. You may drop the cigarette. Nobody can drop Buddha for a cigarette. But these are mind recognitions which change. Otherwise, underneath there is an awareness which knows when you remember and when you forget. That is your original face. As you are looking at how the sight comes and the sight goes, Satori realization will arise of itself. Satori is Japanese name for samadhi. Samadhi is the ultimate experience. Its very meaning is everything is solved. Samadhi means everything is solved. No questions, no answers. One is at peace with existence, one has come home. It's tremendous relaxation which is never disturbed again. Just following awareness, going deeper and deeper from mental to the non-mental awareness, you end up into realization of satori or samadhi. On another occasion, Bhukko said the dharma is different from seeing, hearing, perceiving, knowing, but he does not include awareness. Seeing, hearing, perceiving, knowing are all dharma, but none of them is so comprehensive to make dharma nature its monopoly. But he is not mentioning awareness. Perhaps he is talking to the people who are not yet meditators. Otherwise, awareness is dharma. Awareness includes everything and something more that cannot be said. This mountain priest, says Bhukko, makes a home for the people of the wide earth without the dust being raised. They enter the realm of paradise. There is no need to make much fuss about your religion. It has to be utterly silent. Even your neighbor should not know what you are doing inside yourself. But the people of the earth have been behaving differently. Everybody is claiming who he is, a Hindu, a Mohammedan, a Christian, a Jew, a Jaina, a Buddhist. A dharma should be such a secret phenomenon, so intimate, that you would not like to talk about it. I have not in my whole life voted in any election for the simple reason because the form that has to be filled to become a voter has a clause in it to what religion you belong. That I cannot say. That is my secret. That is my privacy. No government is allowed to enter into my privacy. And when I refuse that I will not fill this class, the poor teacher who was collecting the forms will say, but you are a strange fellow. Everybody feels it. If you don't have any religion, you can say you are an atheist. I said, I am not an atheist. But I am not a theist either. I am just myself. And finding myself, I have found the beauty of being natural. It need not be given an adjective, Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian. To give an adjective to nature is to define a great experience. But everybody is making so much fuss about religion. Religion should be an absolutely silent phenomenon. In the deepest night, sitting in your bed, you should enter into yourself. Your own wife or your husband or your children will not know about it. It is not something which can be done as a crowd or as a family. It is something which is absolutely individual. Your awareness is only your awareness. Yes, at the ultimate peak, when you will be disappearing into the universal energies, your individuality will also be lost. Then nothing is private. Then everything is universal. But there is nobody to declare it. I have just mentioned Al-Hillaj Mansur, a Sufi mystic, who was killed just like Jesus Christ. Of course, in a more primitive and ugly way, he was cut part by part, legs, hands, head. And his only crime was that he has declared Anil Haq, I am the truth. His own master Junaid used to calm him down that yes, we all know you are the truth, but there is no need to say it. I had been deeply inquiring into Junaid because Al-Hillaj Mansur has become world famous. Junaid also knew, I am God, I am truth, but he was a more understanding, more saner person. He used to tell Mansur that if you know it, you need not say it. Your saying simply means that you want a confirmation. But who can confirm? Only you know. There is something in the inner experience that nobody can confirm. and nobody can certify. No government can give a certificate to you that yes, you are enlightened. No committee can confirm. No university can offer a degree in enlightenment. It is absolutely private. I agree very much with Junaid. He understands the psychology of enlightenment far more deeply than Al-Hillaz Mansur. He is saying that your very statement means you want others to recognize you. But this very desire for recognition is poor. This desire for recognition simply means you are not certain. There is still some doubt lurking inside you whether you are enlightened or not. But Mansur did not listen to him. He was too young. He was right, but in a crowd to declare that you are the truth, you are going to offend people. And he did not complete the sentence. If he has said that just as I am truth, you are also truth, things would have been different. Jesus was crucified for his proclamations that he is the Son of God. Mansur was crucified for his declaration that he is the ultimate truth. But in India, thousands of Buddhas have expressed, but they have always expressed in a way which includes you, which does not exclude you from their experience. They say that they are the Buddha, but they also say you are also the Buddha. And the difference between them and you is very slight, not even worth calling a difference. They have opened their eyes to their own reality. You are still a little sleepy. Maybe last night hangover. Just a little more, another turn in the bed, pulling the blanket over the face. But how long you are going to do this? I don't think you are able to do it for eternity. One day you are going to jump out of the bed that enough is enough. Anal has. Lifting high his staff, Bhukko said, Om, 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 Om is the silent sounds, when the mind stops all chattering and you enter into the world of no mind. The music of no mind is something closer to Om. It is not exactly Om, but Om comes to very close to that subtle sound. Bhukko said, haste, haste, haste. All the Buddhas are saying that. That's why you are postponing your own blissfulness, your own divinity. Why you are postponing? Quick, quick, quick. This is not only Bhukko. All the Buddhas down the ages have been concerned about your continuous snoring. They make every effort, they throw cold water in your eyes, but rather than getting up, you simply freak out. You become angry rather than becoming a Buddha. They have been pulling your legs, they have been pulling your blanket, and you become angry that in the early morning it is too cold and this old guy has nothing else to do, he is pulling my blanket. You become angry, you shout, but you don't understand that all these Buddhas are calling for being quick, out of compassion. Bhukko says, bow, bow, bow. Existence is calling for your gratitude, for your prayers, for your gratefulness. But how can you be grateful if you have not experienced it? You have been sleeping for centuries, for hundreds of lives. You cannot be grateful to existence. It has given you only misery up to now, only suffering. It was not existence's responsibility. You were creating it yourself. You are a great genius in creating misery. If someday you find yourself untroubled, unworried, unconcerned, you will jump up in your rented cycle to go somewhere to do something. This is not nature. Sitting silently, it looks a little weird. Just sit silently like a Buddha and neighbors will start looking at you that something has gone wrong. What has happened to this poor fellow? He was running here and there on his rented bicycle. Now he is not even careful who is taking his bicycle. He is sitting with closed eyes, undisturbed. Something must have gone wrong. And you will also think something seems to be wrong. Somebody is taking notes from my pocket and I am saying nothing. Have I gone mad? All your miseries are your own creation. You cannot live without them. You hug them. You sleep with them. They are very familiar, friendly, well known to you, and you brag about them. How many migraines you have, as if it is something great that you have a migraine. That your stomach. People are talking about amoebas, stomach, headache, migraines, and they call it great conversation. Seems the whole world is a big hospital. Throwing high, not reaching the sky, laying down, not reaching the earth, all the Buddhas and Patriarchs find no hold at all. Hold, no hold, Om. He is saying there is nothing to hold. But don't be worried. Existence will take care of you. It has always taken care. If it was left for you to remember to breathe, do you think you would have been alive? If it was left for you to remember to keep your heart beating, do you think you would have been here today? Long before. You would have been in your grave or on a funeral pyre. You would have forgotten very easily. Somebody insults you and at that time do you think you will remember to breathe? Somebody is taking away your rented bicycle. And do you think at that time you will remember that the heart continues to beat? Thousand and one opportunities in a day to forget. Existence has not left essential functions on you. It has kept essential functions in its own care. So you can sleep, breathing will continue. You will be angry, breathing will continue. You can fight, still your heart will not stop. You can do everything, the essential things of life are not dependent on you. They are connected, rooted in the universe. Universe is already taking care of you, but you have not been grateful. The only prayer I know of is the prayer of gratitude. That I am nobody and still the whole existence takes care of me. All the Buddhas and Patriarchs find no hold at all, Om, divine streams rushing, you don't be worried. Hold or no hold, whether any possession or no possession, whether you are not, the divine stream is rushing continuously. You are part of it. Or you are the whole of it. It all depends on you to remain a part or to become the whole. I mentioned Kabir. First he was just a dewdrop disappearing in the ocean. But at the last moment of his life he recognized from the other side the ocean has disappeared in the dewdrop. The truth became complete. Dio wrote, the clouds are thin, the river endless, the universal door appears without deception. Questioning the boy, he does not yet know its edges. He went uselessly searching in the cold of the mist and waves in 100 cities. There are people who are searching in the mountains, in the cities, in the forests, and they don't know that it is their own consciousness that they are searching. They cannot find it anywhere. Until they fall tired of search as Gautam Buddha fell one night. It was full moon and he dropped the very desire of searching. He was tired and fed up. And that very night he became enlightened. When you give up, the universe takes you in its millions of hands. Let go. Is the only way to find yourself and to find yourself dissolving into the ultimate. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, lately I have felt aware that we are just big vacuums, emptinesses, walking around with a package of personality that does things and thinks thoughts, but Bukko thoughts of approaching the self. Is the self anything other than the essence of emptiness? Are the questions just a means to discover there is no self?" Yes, Manisha. All inquiry is in the beginning to find the self. But when you find it, it is not the self. When you find it, it is no self. But to tell somebody that go on a search for no self, he said, "Are you mad? I'm already puzzled and in trouble, and I should go in search for no self, no mind, emptiness, nothingness. I'm already troubled, and you are encouraging me into more troubled waters. Why should I go for no self?" Hence, the Buddhas say to you, go to search the self. Because they know you will find no self. So there is no problem. They say, go and search inside. And you will find everything. But you will find only a pure nothingness. But that cannot be said. That can be said only to the adept, to those who are on the path and are capable to listen and understand that the ultimate search can only be a dissolution into the whole cosmos, just like a wave disappearing in the ocean or a stream running fast according to Bukko with haste. Reaching to the ocean just to disappear. People's mind are oriented to achieve something. If you say to them, search for God, it is understandable. Because finding God will be a great joy. And He will give you all that you had always desired. Will give you a right place to live in heaven, a beautiful palace, where rivers are full of wine, and where young women who never grow old, at least up to now it has never been heard that they ever grow old. They have been at the age of 16 fixed for centuries. My own understanding is that they are not real women. Plastic. Pumped with air. They don't perspire, that is significant to understand. The scriptures make it clear that they don't perspire. Only plastic does not perspire. And only plastic never grows old. And it is very good and transportable. Just take the air out, hold the woman, put in your suitcase, and wherever you are going, go. You can have even two or three women in one suitcase. I have heard two scientists were going to explore in Siberia, the last village post, and they were collecting everything that they will need in the cold, in the eternal snows, and they were going to live there for almost a year. So all things that they will need, they were collecting. The shop owner said that, listen, I have been here selling things to scientists, explorers, and I always suggest to them, first they feel starved, but then finally they agree with me. Those two scientists said, what do you mean? He said, you take a plastic woman with you. I have very beautiful models. He said, what nonsense? Plastic woman? What we will do with plastic woman? That old shopkeeper said, you will miss. Don't take the chance, be on the safer side. Just, and it will not take much space in your suitcase. And he brought a folded woman, pumped air into it, and it was really a good model. A Sophia Loren. And they both thought that it looks a little weird. But what is the harm? But the one said, no, I don't want to be so stupid. Carrying a plastic woman, and I am a great Nobel Prize winner. The other said, you remain a Nobel Prize winner, but remember, it is my woman. I am purchasing it. And if I ever find you fiddling with her, you know my temper. Then I will not see whether you are my friend or not. My gun is always loaded. The friend said, you are getting unnecessarily hard. Let the time come. Let us go. You put the woman in your suitcase. And the man who had the woman enjoyed the woman very much. And the other fellow forgot all about Nobel Prizes, felt very lonely, and one day the friend was gone out, he pumped the woman and the other fellow came and saw the woman flying from the window. He reached inside and he said, "What happened? Why the woman has flied out of the window?" He said, "I forgot and I cut on her breast too hard, the air leaked, the woman simply jumped." To his words, the man simply shot his friend immediately. After a year, when he came back to the village to collect things again, the old man said, "How things are going with the woman?" He said, "It is a very sad story. You will have to supply another woman." But it was a very rare model. The shopkeeper asked him, "What happened to your friend?" He said, "I have told from the very beginning that don't fiddle with my woman, and that idiot cut on her breast so deeply that she flew over the window and fell out when I was coming back. So I shot the man. Now you can give me another woman and we will live at sea. And I have discovered a great truth, that it is better than a real woman, because no harassment, no nagging, and whenever you want to fold it, you can fold." It is so convenient. Never says that I have a headache. It is always available. My feeling is that if there is a God, and there is a paradise, then those saints must be playing with plastic women for centuries. Real women anyway are not allowed to go to heaven. No religion allows women to go to heaven. So naturally, that is the only alternative, a plastic woman. And poor saints, they can't afford a real woman. They could not manage here. How they can manage there? They escaped from the world. In fact, they escaped from the woman. The world is just the name. When they say somebody has renounced the world, he means he has renounced the woman. the way where you are going. Wherever you go, it is the world. Nobody can renounce the world. But people say, renouncing the world, hiding a fact that it is simply renouncing the woman. And without renouncing the woman, you cannot be a saint. And it is a tragedy that you renounce a real woman and in paradise you get a plastic woman with a pump. I don't believe that you should think of any positive achievement by meditation. You won't get any God, because what you will do with God? You both will feel very awkward. After saying hi, what you are going to say to God? All the miseries of the world that He has created. This is the worst kind of world that anybody could have created. I had an old Mohammedan tailor. I used to go for different cities, lecturing in different universities. I told the old man, he was a very nice guy. I told him that I am going in 6 days, so you have to prepare my clothes, give the priority to my clothes, put everything away. He said, listen, do you know God created the world in 6 days? I said, what that has to do with my clothes? He said, it has to do. Look at the world. It is in a mess. If you want your clothes to be made in 6 days, then don't complain. It will be a mess. What you are going to talk to God? Perhaps you have never thought about it. That it will be a very awkward encounter. And what you are going to do with your paradise, and it is a question of eternity, forever and forever. The same plastic women, and the same dirty wine flowing in the river. And I know perfectly that Indians must have reached there. And they will be doing all kinds of nasty things. That wine is no more of any use. So please settle for no self. enough of seriousness. This is not a serious place. It is a temple of laughter. Ace pilot, Captain Flitsky, and his faithful co-pilot, Captain Kurski, borrow a small airplane from the main runway of Bombay Airport to go for a joy ride. They are flying around and having a great time, and everything is going fine, when suddenly Kurski remembers he has a hard date with Gertie, the Polar Airlines stewardess. Hey, Kurski, South Kurski, over the buzzing of the engines, it is time to land. I have got a fee and I have got a date. Roger Dozer, South Kurski, taking the plane into a nose dive towards the earth. Kurski is clutching the controls while Kurski is frantically working the foot pedals and shouting out readings from all the instruments. They finally get the plane onto the ground but have to screech to a stop. Wow! Screams Kurski, mopping his forehead. That was a short runway. Yes, pants Kurski collapsing in his seat, but look how wide it is. Mrs. Benzini, the big Italian Catholic mama, herds her large family into the cinema and explains to the cashier which of them is entitled to half price admission. These are two, points out Mrs. Benzini, are under 5. These are two are under 7. These are two are under 8. And the older twins will be 10 next week. Mama Mia explains the cashier, do you and Mr. Benzini have a twins every time? Not every time, blesses Mrs. Benzini. Lots of times we don't have any kids at all. Olga Kovalevsky enters an elevator on the 42nd floor of the Polak Salami Emporium. It is the operator, Mad Melvin, the escaped lunatic's first day on the job. Suddenly, Melvin, giggling hysterically, throws the switch and drops the elevator through its face at a dizzy speed. Then he throws on the brake and brings the elevator to a grinding, shuddering halt, seeing Olga standing there in the lift with her eyes crossed. Melvin asks, "Did I stop too quick?" "Ah, no, Melvin," replies Olga, bobbling. "I always wear me panties down around my ankles."
Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. No movement, so that all energy can gather inside. Look in. Deeper and deeper. The deeper you go, the more you will feel what it is to be aware. What it is to be a Buddha. Don't come back without reaching to the very sources of your life. be acquainted with this territory, with this space, remember this silence, this peace, this bliss, 24 hours, just like an undercurrent. Soon it will become your very breathing, your very heartbeat. Then there is no difference between you and a Buddha. You have reached to the ultimate significance of existence, and you have touched the eternity, immortality of your being. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax. Just let the body be there, the mind is there, and you are neither. You are a watcher. Watch the body, watch the mind, and remember, you are simply the watcher. Bodies come and go, mind changes every moment. Only the watcher remains for eternity. This watcher is your original self. Let the experience sink deep into every fiber of your being. It is going to transform all your activities. It will radiate in your actions, in your gestures. It will radiate from your eyes, from your words, from your silences. This moment you are in the very land of the Buddha. This moment you are a contemporary of all those who have known. Be grateful. Nivedana, come back, but don't come back as you have gone in. Bring something new with you. Bring the Buddha with you. sit silently for a few moments, just recollecting and remembering where you have been, to what extent. This has to become your everyday experience. It has to penetrate all your life around the clock. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagavan.
Can we celebrate the gathering of the Buddha?
Yes, Bhagavan.